With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
John Blau with the Post and Courier will join us in about 40 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on all that happened in the game against Duke. We will get his thoughts on the commentary of Dabo Swinney in the postgame press conference. Got him fined $10,000 for criticizing officials. The ACC has a policy that says it is detrimental to the game of football when players, coaches, administrative officials criticize officiating. I got to tell you, in a year in which, for the very first time that I am aware of and can remember, the Southeastern Conference has already removed an official from the season, and as that official is retiring at the end of the year, remove them from their job effectively, unless he's like, nah, I don't want to retire, I can't walk off like that. Then is it not logical to look at college football and say, okay, if a conference suspended an official for the regular season for bad calls, is it not logical to say then we absolutely can and should criticize officials? Because very clearly, they make mistakes. And I get the point is, yes, they're human and they're going to make mistakes. But I have a couple of other questions as well. There was, in the college game, Vanderbilt, Texas, there was a Vanderbilt touchdown late in the game. It was a backdoor cover, by the way, because Vanderbilt got within the 3.5 that they were underdogs by. They ended up losing by 3. There was a touchdown late in that game, and there was a really, really consequential moment of did he or did he not get in with the football. Having looked at it a few times, I thought the ball crossed the end zone, crossed the goal line. Remember, it only has to cross the front edge of the plane. But there's a lot of Texas fans who are swearing up and down he didn't score. Vanderbilt was gifted a touchdown that even though Texas would go on to win the game, theoretically could have turned it over. Because Vanderbilt, remember, kicked the onside kick and damn near got it. It bounced around a few times. Two or three Vandy boys got their mitts on the rock. Just none of them can control it, and it ended up rolling out of bounds. So Vanderbilt did not get a possession that they could have gone 30 yards, kicked a field goal to tie it, or scored a touchdown to take the win. There was the targeting call in the Ohio State-Penn State game. Talked about this back in the first hour. Ohio State got, I don't want to say got away because they still called the unnecessary roughness on the defense, but got away with what I thought was a textbook targeting call, right? There's the criteria for targeting. It is forceful contact above the head or neck player with a launch. All three boxes got ticked. They reviewed it and said no targeting. And I'm going, if that review leads you to the belief that this is not targeting, then you're going to need to do a really good job of explaining, A, why it's not, and B, what the new criteria of targeting is, because clearly the targeting criteria you have laid out, it's missing something else. I don't know what it is. So I get why they don't want people in the game to criticize officiating, but saying we won't stand criticism of officiating basically says we want you all to pretend that our guys are perfect. Well, in a year where we have seen, in one incident at least, the harshest officiating discipline handed out by a league that we have seen so far, what you were telling me is even the conferences know the officiating isn't perfect. And I will say cumulatively over the course of the season.
What would you like? What would you like? Would you like all coaches and players have the ability to say whatever they want about the officiating?
I mean, yes, but I know that's not going to happen. Listen, let me be clear. I'm not arguing for a change primarily because I know that I would be arguing with a brick wall. It's not going to change.
Okay, because that's what it sounds like.
Would I like a change? Sure. Would I like coaches be able to break down officiating? Yeah, absolutely. But I also understand why, because it's kind of a floodgate scenario, right? If you say there's only one little hole in the dike and we're okay with that, that one hole ends up becoming the breakdown of the dike. I get it. But on the flip side, to pretend like there's not officiating problems is a problem.
The dike is, it's like
it's a dam.
Dam.
But it's in Sweden, I believe.
There are some people who don't that know what that means.
So a dike is, if I recall correctly, taking it back to my high school days, a dam is used for usually used to generate some sort of electricity and is capable of holding water back on both sides versus a dike where it only holds water back from going one direction, right? Like the water can flow back the other direction through it, but it can only go in one direction. It's unimportant.
So they probably have a bunch of those in Louisiana?
No, we got levees primarily where I'm from.
All right.
We got levees.
This is a totally different thing.
Yeah, levee. Well, a levee usually runs parallel to a body of water and is used to keep the channel.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
You all cared about this, I know. So, Dabo Swinney also pointed out that, as we mentioned and played the audio for you in the last segment of the show, that Graham Neff was in the press conference, post-game press conference, and we have now had at least a few media people who have said, that's unusual. That hasn't happened yet. My theory, speculative as it may be, my theory is this is just a quiet caution to Dabo Swinney that, hey, I'm involved now. I'm invested now. You know, it's been your thing. It's been your program. You've run it the way you've wanted to run it for a very long time. When you were winning a bunch of games, no problem. But you're not now. You're not now. And let me tell you where that comes from. I do not think that it is necessarily a loss of faith or belief in Dabo Swinney. I think it is very simply a spot of concern. Oh.
Okay, this is probably going to be a thing that we do today and tomorrow because you know what's coming up. NFL trade deadline.
Oh, yeah, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
I believe it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right.
And first playoff rankings. Tomorrow's going to be Wednesday is going to be a busy day because all that's going
to
happen after.
The Dolphins are trading star pass rusher Jalen Phillips to the Eagles for a third-round pick.
The Dolphins fired their general manager Chris Greer over the weekend. Chris Greer had been the GM for the Dolphins for 9 years now. And obviously the fight going down right now is, why did Chris Greer lose his job but not Mike McDaniels? And there's two sides of the argument here. Argument number one is Mike McDaniels should go too. Mike McDaniels is the architect and he should be let go. But there's another side of the argument that is developing right now, and I think it is honestly, I think it's more fair than it's necessarily being given credit for. I think the other side of the argument and the reason that this is being discussed, broken down, whatever, is because a lot of folks are now starting to look at the roster of the Miami Dolphins and go, especially after Tyreek got lost for the season, it's not that good. Like, honestly, it's a pretty bad roster, and that's Chris Greer.
I think the bigger story is this is not the first trade that Philly has made on their defense the last couple of weeks.
No, it's not.
And all the people complaining about Kansas City going to the Super Bowl so much, Philadelphia has been there just as many times. And they're making moves right now to shore up their defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, by the way, both the moves they made, the defensive back and now an edge rusher, like, they're impact moves. Like, these are both impact moves. And the Dolphins are clearly entering fire sale mode under and – by the way, the only interesting thing about Miami, and I think it's the right call, the only interesting thing about Miami is that they're going to go interim GM and also fire sale. That means the guy that is going to be pulling the strings on trades is not the guy necessarily that's going to keep that job long term. Nor is it somebody who's got experience doing this. If you're Miami, I think the one fear you have now is, are we about to get worked by other general managers because we got a guy without a ton of experience? And I think that's a legitimate fear. The other problem that you have here is if you fire Mike McDaniel, yeah, you're committing to an entire rebuild. I would be very interested at this point if I was Miami. I think I would be interested in, let's go get a GM. Even if we go the Jacksonville route, we go get a 35-year-old kid that's you know, a prodigy, hadn't done it, but is a prodigy, whatever. I got to tell you, I think I'd give Mike one more year. I think I would. You had what, 2 or 3 years of really, really high levels of success, and then this year just tanking, but also Chris Greer, who really kind of gave Mike everything he wanted to set up his offense the first 2 years, and this past offseason kind of like, no, look at me, I'm the general manager now. I don't know. It's a weird situation in Miami. We'll talk more about that because I do think we are about to get to some. I think we're about to get some very interesting parts of the NFL season with trade deadline being, I believe, 4 p.m. tomorrow. We will get to that as we get closer to that. And again, Wednesday's show will have a wrap because now I'm also at the spot, and we talked with Rashad Beard about this. If Carolina goes to Green Bay and they lose to the Packers yesterday, I told Rashad, like, I think guys like Chuba Hubbard that are, you know, on the last year of their deal, I think they're trade pieces at that point. I think you roll with Rico, I think they're trade pieces. You're 5-4 now. You're 5-4, and the team that sits atop the NFC South is missing their top two wide receivers. Their top two wide receivers are now out. Like, if the door has been open, it's open now. And I don't, if you're Carolina, maybe you don't make the moves that I thought you were going to make when we were here on Friday. We'll talk more about that. And as mentioned, we have got the first college football playoff rankings that will drop tomorrow afternoon as well. So on Wednesday's show, we'll spend quite a bit of time on both the trade deadline in the NFL and the first college football playoff rankings that will come out tomorrow afternoon. So let me go back and I'll finish on Debo and Shane Beamer, and then we'll move on to some other college football stories. John Blau at 840. We'll do the pro stuff, the World Series, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship, and the NFL moves that are taking place already in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. So I think Graham Neff was in the press conference effectively giving Dabo a heads up of, I am invested. I'm not going to come in here and tell you. Because again, Graham Neff didn't do a press conference. He could have. He didn't put out a press release. He could have. He didn't issue a vote of confidence. He could have. He hasn't done anything. He was just there. And I think if you're just there, you're basically like, hey, look, I'm here. I'm invested. I'm part of this now. And while you have had full autonomy over the program, you don't now. You don't now. And I think that there's something to be said for that. So I think what you're looking at is a pair of head coaches. Different philosophies about it, but a similar setup. The setup being both of these coaches have been given full autonomy over the football program. Hey, look, go run this thing the way you think it needs to be run to be the best that it can be. You have two coaches of 3-5 football teams that are now being told the expectations are not being met. And I mentioned in the last segment that I think this is being driven by fear. And here's what I mean by that. since NIL and since the portal popped up, since RevShare has popped up, since all of these stories have popped up, I have a number of times made the comment that if you, as a football program, are not moving forward, you are falling behind. Because I want you to look around the rest of college football. The few benchmarks I have used. Indiana just handed out a $96 million contract to Kurt Cignetti. Why? Because he strapped a rocket on the back of Indiana, and they are now the number two team in the country for multiple weeks in a row. I look at Texas A&M. They are going to give Mike Elko a lot more money. Why? Because after the departure of Jimbo, Mike Elko has strapped a rocket to the back of the Aggies. They are now three in the country with an 8-0 record. Look at Dan Lanning. Rocket to the back of the Ducks. Undefeated year last year, Big Ten championship, and got the hardest path to the national championship playoffs. Won a game, whatever. They were in the mix. Ole Miss is at number 7, 8-1. Only loss, Georgia, a very good team. Lane Kiffin is the most highly prized head coaching candidate in the pool right now. And I've said this a few times. In years gone by, there's not a doubt in my brain that Lane Kiffin is going to Florida or LSU, and he's getting paid $97, $98 million to do it. I don't know if that's true, because the pressure is higher at LSU than anywhere else, and the pressure is higher at Florida than almost everywhere else, with a couple of exceptions. The pressure is not there at Ole Miss. And if Indiana can hand out a $96 million contract, you better be damn sure Ole Miss can do it. BYU, rocket ship, 8-0, now number 8 in the country. Texas Tech, because of NIL, rocket ship, 8-1, up 4 spots, number 9. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Virginia's in the mix. Louisville's in the mix. Vanderbilt just took their second loss. Until this weekend, they were a top 10 team. Georgia Tech just took their first loss. They got Dave Dorant. First loss. Until this loss, they were a top 8 team. Now all the way down at number 16. And we'll talk about that later on. I think that win over Clemson is probably the reason that 8-1 Georgia Tech is now behind 7-2 Vanderbilt and 7-1 Louisville. But the point is, look at the teams in the top 25. Utah's in that mix. Mizzou's in that mix. A team that was expected to be thinking about hiring or firing their head coach is now a top 19 team with 2 losses. Memphis is a top 25 team. Washington, after Kalen DeBoer left, I think everybody thought Washington was back to the dregs of society for you. Nope, they're a top 25 team. Cincinnati. The point here is there's a lot of teams in the top 25 that like aren't powerhouses, and they're good. Right? Not like, oh, you snuck in because you played a bunch of cupcakes out of the gate, and now you got... These are good teams with good wins. If you're not moving ahead, you're falling behind. And Clemson is in this weird spot. And South Carolina's in the same spot, but for a different reason. Clemson is in this weird spot where you have to weigh. Thank you, Dabo, for everything you've done for the program and for getting us to a point where we have these expectations versus if we don't meet expectations, all these other teams are going to pass us. They just are. All these other teams are going to pass us. Long term, not just like for this year, like permanently, or at least for a long term situation. So you've got to weigh everything Dabo's done for you and the franchise, for the program, versus your spot in college football right now, versus your tier. Do you want to take the risk that you keep falling down the ranks of college football, but hey, at least we continue to show gratitude for Dabo who made this disappointing? Or do you want to say, we'll show gratitude to Dabo, we're going to name the stadium after him, we'll build a statue, we'll do this and that and the other, but we got to move on because we don't want to fall like a rock down the college football landscape. Over in South Carolina, the reality is Shane Beamer showed up, showed a lot of love for the university, got the fans back on board, they're as engaged and as energized as they have been in a very long time. And so you've got to weigh the fact that he got you just being talked about again versus if this is what we can expect when we have a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback. And again, maybe we were all wrong and Lenora Sellers really isn't that good. right? Like I do think somebody pointed it out to me, and I think it's a good opinion. Maybe we were all wrong, and Lenora Sellers just isn't that good. And maybe Mike Shula ran a simplified offense because Lenora's can't handle everything else. But I point at the last four games of last year, and I point at the Alabama game this year, and I go, I didn't see that. So you kind of have to weigh. Shane, you got here, you energized the fan base, you made everything awesome, you've built the brand, versus if we don't start turning that into wins, none of that's going to matter. Nobody's going to care about a team that's really funny on social media, but goes 5-7, 4-8 every year. It's a balancing act that every school has to do to determine how do we make sure that we are keeping our space in the college football landscape and moving ahead along with all the other teams that are moving ahead versus all the off-field stuff that deserves some level of credit, appreciation, respect, whatever. That's the spot both of these programs find themselves in. All right, when we come back, let's take a look at the rest of the college football landscape and what went on this weekend. And then John Blau with the Post and Courier will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the loss to Duke. We'll get his thoughts on the commentary around Dabo Swinney and more. All of that coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. Joey B popped onto the chat. Big Clemson guy said, quote, Clemson won't fire Dabo. It's the one thing they could do that would turn a huge segment of the donor and fan base off, but they will make it to where Dabo walks on his own. I actually agree with that take. I said earlier in the show, if Dabo Swinney isn't the coach of the Clemson Tigers in 2026, it will be Dabo Swinney's decision not to be the coach.
You know, and if he and as I said earlier, if he makes a decision, if he was ever going to decide to walk, this is the year to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of, I do not think all of, there are, what are we at now, 10 after Auburn hired Hugh Freeze? There are 10 open jobs available across Power 4, by the way. And we're not even talking about lower levels.
There might even be more before it's over with.
Yeah.
So.
Look, I think Florida State is, like now Florida State put 42 on Wake Forest this weekend. You know, is there a bounce back there? I don't know. I doubt it, but we'll see. But I think Florida State, the only reason Mike Norvell did not get fired after the loss to Stanford was likely because they don't have $56 million on hand. And unlike LSU, they didn't have one booster step up and say, I'll pay the lion's share of it. And I think that's a conversation they want to have. Now, if Florida State comes out, runs the table, then that conversation probably changes. And they go, okay, one more year, we'll get a real general. Florida State does not have a general manager the way that North Carolina does, Clemson does, et cetera. So I think that changes the game. But I think it is the second half of the commentary from Joey B that is where the weight is here, which is, quote, they will make it to where Dabo walks on his own. That is the weight, I think. I have known people in the past, and I don't know if this is a universal experience or not, so I'll say I have known people in the past who were unhappy in a relationship, but for whatever reason, their image, they didn't want to be the bad guy, they didn't want to be the one that hurt feelings, they didn't have the adamantium testicles to be the one that was the guy. For whatever reason, instead of saying, hey, this isn't working out, it's not what I wanted it to be, I think we need to split up. Instead, what they do is they just progressively start making the other person's life a little worse. They just progressively start being a little more aggressive, a little more sloppy, a little more dirty, a little meaner, whatever. And they push the other person away to the breaking point that the other person says, hey, this isn't working out for me. I gotta go. And then they get to say, I mean, they dumped me. I didn't break up with them. They broke up with me. I don't know why people do that. That's the thing people do. And I'm not saying that is what Clemson is going to do. I'm not saying that they are going to intentionally make life more miserable for Dabo Swinney. What I'm saying is they will progressively, step by step, take the full autonomy that Dabo has over the Clemson program away from him. They will progressively start to take his full and entire control over the program away. They will start saying, you need to do this, and you will do that, and you will change this. And I think it will start this offseason with, as we pointed out earlier in the show, I think that, and I am not alone in this thought, Clemson is a program run by nepotism right now. The coaching staff are Dabo guys. It's former players, it's friends from other jobs, whatever. And for the record, I don't think that the South Carolina job is nepotism per se, but I do think there are shades of it. I think a lot of the guys there, including Mike Shula, they're Beamer guys. And I think so far, I think we can say that Shane Beamer has been very hesitant to move on from Beamer guys. That's what I've said. I think there's a lot more in common with these two programs failing to meet expectations this year. I think there's a lot of common ground on the reason why. So I don't think Clemson is like, what can we do? What can we do to make Dabo leave? So much as they're going to say, and like I said, I think this is a decision predicated by fear. Fear that if we are not moving forward, we are falling behind. If we are not gaining ground, we are losing ground. There is no such thing as standing still. You are either moving forward or backwards. And if they feel like the program under Dabo Swinney is moving backwards, no matter what he's put in the trophy case, if they feel like the program is moving backwards, or even if it is standing still and other teams are just moving by, like right now, if you're an 18-year-old kid, who are you more excited to go play for? Georgia Tech or Clemson? Like, Clemson's got more in terms of amenities. They've got more in terms of resources. They've got more in terms of facilities. But right now, Brent Key has all the momentum with the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. And if you care about winning, and oh, by the way, while they may not have the name recognition that Clemson has, they've got two things going for them. Number one, if you come out of Georgia Tech with a degree, you're probably getting a pretty good job, which means you can be an influential booster if you choose to be. And number two, they're in Atlanta. Atlanta's got a ton of money. Atlanta wants to see sports in Atlanta do well, which means they're probably at least somewhat inclined to participate. Definition of, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And so it is not that Clemson's going to say, how can we make Dabo miserable enough that he will leave? I think it will be more along the lines of, look, man, we don't want you to leave, but we do have to start doing these things. I hearken back to Pat Kraft, the AD at Penn State. When Penn State fired James Franklin, the next week, Pat Kraft stepped out of the box and did a press conference. And he said, the next head coach at Penn State will. And he gave a list of criteria. And he said he will use the transfer portal in a way that benefits Penn State. He will say, or he said, the next head coach will embrace, encourage, and assist in NIL. And the next head coach will recognize, honor, and play into the culture that is the Penn State Nittany Lion fan base. Now, do I think Penn State would take Lane Kiffin in a heartbeat if he wanted the job? You're damn sure. Does Lane Kiffin recognize the fit into, illustrate the Penn State culture? No. You know what Lane Kiffin has done? Attacked the portal, embraced NIL, done all the things necessary to move ahead in college football. So I do think that there is a very good chance that Graham Neff and the Clemson Athletic Department at the end of the season go to Dabo Swinney and say, we love you. We want you to stay. We're happy if you're here until you retire. But we're not happy with having to beat South Carolina in rivalry weekend to make a bowl in a year where we had national championship expectations. So, Dabs, here's what's going to happen. You are going to attack the transfer portal. Not, oh, we'll see if there's some guys we like that maybe fit into the program, but hey, my guys are my guys. Nah, you're going to work the portal to get the best players we can get on the football field. You're going to assist us in NIL. You're going to promote it. You're going to ask Clemson fans to give money to it. You're going to help these guys with your name and power land NIL deals. You're going to attack all these things, and we're going to get rid of the nepotism hires. CJ Spiller's got to go. We love him too. We hope he sticks around as a fan and a friend of the program forever, but he's got to go, and all those guys like that have got to go. And then Dabo can say, okay, I want to be here enough, I'll do those things. Or he can say, no, screw you guys, that's not how I want to run the program, and I'm out. And somebody like Stanford will absolutely let him run the program however he wants to do it. But Clemson won't. And I think that's what's happening here. I think that's the way they move on if it happens. All right, John Blau with the Post and Courier covers the Clemson Tigers. We'll get his thoughts on this conversation when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
All right, guys, stay right there. We're going to get John B.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is 8:40 a.m. on a Monday morning, and that means it is time to go to the phone lines, take a little virtual road trip right on down the road to Clemson, South Carolina, where we find a young man who covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, kind enough to give us some time every Monday to talk Clemson Athletics. John Blau joins us now on the phone, and John, I imagine the last 2 days of your life have been quite interesting, sir. Have you slept a wink since Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, we got the extra hour, too. Daylight savings time. So, yeah, no, I've been fine. I'm sure that it's a little different in Clemson's football building. Maybe Graham Neff, the AD, hasn't gotten a whole lot of sleep. But, yeah, for me, it's been okay.
I suspect that is true, John. Let's dive right in with that. I've seen it from a couple of different places that there is tension inside the football building, and it may be more than just the fact that Clemson has a 3-5 record, 2-4 in the conference, but that there may be a bit of a power struggle going on between the head coach Dabo Swinney, the athletic department, which we will unify into the head of Graham Neff at this point for the purposes of the conversation. What was the tone? Dabo pointed out that Graham Neff was in the postgame press conference. I saw a couple of people say that that is relatively unusual, very unique set of circumstances there. We heard Dabo make the comment, maybe I'm getting fired today and I wouldn't blame him if that happens, which I thought was tongue-in-cheek, but also kind of opposite of the way that Dabo's been talking the last few weeks, where it's been much more defensive, guarded, whatever you want to use. What is the tone and the thought about where the program is right now?
Yeah, I think it was a little tongue in cheek, but yeah, I've seen Graham up, you know, on that level of the building where the press conference, is. So that's not completely unusual for him to be in the room. Yeah, it is a little different. At least I haven't heard that called out before. Obviously, Dabo thought it was different enough to point it out. But yeah, a little more defensive in previous weeks because they hadn't lost all these games in a row. You get to the point where you've lost six straight games. Power conference teams at home. That's obviously a very unusual, very negative, not good circumstance. So, yeah, there's definitely, I think, an urgency to get something, done, and not necessarily, are there going to be staff changes today, tomorrow, and the next week? I don't know. But you absolutely know that, it has to be churning in both Graham Neff and Dabo Swinney's head what has to change here. Now, whether that's that something has to change with, Dabo as being the head coach. I don't know if that's going to happen. But as far as assistant coaches, in terms of approach, in terms of recruiting, the portal, all that stuff, it all has to be on the table because this obviously is not a very good football team right now. It's not a very good coaching staff right now. In terms of some of the things we're seeing on the field. So something has to get fixed. Graham Neff knows it. Dabo Swinney knows it. We'll see how it kind of resolves itself.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, John, and I know that this conversation to some degree has a lot of abstract thought and subjectivity to it, but the stories that I've seen from different folks have revolved quite a bit around, Dabo historically has had total complete control and autonomy over the program. And now that might be a threat a little bit. It may be Graham Neff. It may be the athletic department stepping in and saying, okay, we want this done differently. We want these changes made. And Dabo has historically, at least from what we've seen on the outside looking in, not been a guy who loves that all that much. Is there discussion that those things that need to be changed aren't necessarily just an overall concept, but maybe are some specific things that Dabo Swinney is going to be upset about long term? Or is this more just kind of an overall conversation that will form towards the end of the season, but certainly when we get to the offseason?
Yeah, I don't know a ton of specifics about what exactly, you know, has been discussed or how much control here or there might be wrested from Dabo Swinney. I haven't heard overly specific things about that, but at the same time, you probably can reason that again, there's discussion about, you know, how he runs the program, you know, who has control over what as far as personnel and NIL and rev share and how we'll work and all of that. I mean, there has to be discussions, bigger picture, in terms of how they're doing things recruiting-wise. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, the choice is Dabo can like it or not like it, but it has to get better and for him to be able to stay here as the head coach. If he wants to go somewhere else, you know, and do it his way, and there's an athletic department that would love for him to do it his way because he's a two-time national, you know, title-winning coach, but then he could do that. But at the same time, Clemson, you know, Graham Neff has talked about it a million times. We were talking about the ACC lawsuit, you know, like, Clemson's going to look out for Clemson, you know, in terms of like, maybe we're going to be in this conference, maybe we're going to go elsewhere. Clemson has to look out for Clemson. And as much as you owe Dabo Swinney for getting Clemson football to where Clemson football is, you also, if you're Graham Neff, can't allow it to slide back to where your media rights aren't worth as much as they used to be, where you're not bringing in the revenue you need to bring in. And so if there are specific ideas they have that force Dabo to adjust in some way, that has to happen because Dabo is not bigger than Clemson at the end of the day. I mean, Clemson has to get this thing going in a better direction. And if we're honest, it's been going in a kind of a slow backslide for the last like 3 or 4 years, but it's really kind of fallen off a cliff this year. And so something has to be done. And that's reasonable that, yeah, some changes probably have to be made.
So I said in the last segment before we brought you on, John Blau, that in the new era of college football, as we see Indiana giving out $96 million contracts, as we see Lane Kiffin taking the self-proclaimed Portal King title and bringing Ole Miss not just into relevance, but into the forefront of college football, we're kind of at this point where if you're not moving ahead, you're falling behind. There is no, oh, we're just kind of hovering in one spot. Like, you're either moving ahead or you're falling behind. And I've got to assume at the spot they're in now, Clemson obviously has to feel like not only are we not meeting expectations, but we are falling behind at this point. If you're sitting in that athletic department and you've got the fans riled up, and I'll start with this question, like, from your perspective and what you have seen interacting with fans, seeing them, you know, talking about, commenting on your work, whatever it might be, what is the fan base reaction at large? Because on the show, we've gotten a pretty healthy mix of it might be time to start moving on versus, hey, man, the guy's done a lot. Like, give him a chance to get it right, whatever. What have you seen the reaction from Clemson fans be, especially after this weekend's loss to Duke?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell because obviously when you're on Twitter and you're on that world, like, that's, I think, only like 27% of U.S. adults are on that website. But then you think it's everything. But as far as Twitter, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who want, you know, change. They, you know, seen enough or they don't want Dabo fired, but they want him to adjust. And they don't really like some of the comments as far as, again, not appreciating me and the titles and all the stuff we've won. I think one of the more interesting things is I think I watched Eric McClain, ACC Network guy, doing his podcast this morning. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, he's discussing with Aaron Murray, the former Georgia quarterback, like, maybe Dabo, it would be good at some point if, you know, if he were to maybe look elsewhere on his own terms, go somewhere else. And I don't think Eric, like, fully agreed with it, but it was, at the same time, I was like, yeah, well, maybe, you know. And so there is kind of that idea that's starting to, you know, starting to live in people's heads that maybe this isn't going to work out. You know, I think there has been a lot of trust even earlier this season that Dabo was going to be able to find a way. But maybe things are just kind of in a place where they're just not going to get better. I mean, obviously Paul Feinbaum's been saying it for a while, but that's Paul Feinbaum. So it's kind of interesting that, yeah, people are kind of wrestling in their heads, you know, whether this is something that, you know, Dabo could fix. I mean, I think you give him the chance to fix it if he wants to fix it. And if the athletic department's along for the ride, because again, this guy has done so much for Clemson and won titles. It's the only reason why they're the brand they are. But just at the same time, you know, it's not moving in a positive direction. It's moving in a negative direction. So it seems to be a lot of people kind of trying to come to terms with something having to change, whether that's Dabo kind of giving or Dabo happen to at some point maybe not be the head coach. It's an interesting time for sure.
Yeah, you know, the thought I had earlier in the show, John, was you've got this weird kind of balancing act that you have to do if you're at Clemson, where on one hand you say the only reason we have these lofty expectations that aren't being met is because of Dabo Swinney, and there should be some level of weight placed on what he's done, what he's accomplished, how he took that program from being just kind of a program to, for a number of years, being the program. On the flip side, once you are the program, you don't want to give that up. You don't want to walk it backwards. Like, you're not going to go, oh, we had a pretty good run of championships there, and now we're just fine being a perennial 8-4 team again. And if we're backsliding, you've got to pick a side on that spectrum of, do we let Dabo do what he wants to do forever because he made us great, he won us two titles, we played for two more, or do you say it's time for us to start either making Dabo make changes or make changes about Dabo because we don't want to hit that backslide? And John, I do not envy Graham Neff or whoever it is that has to decide which side of that scale, because it is, to me, it is one side or the other. It's black and white. You got to pick one. I don't know which side of that binary scale you have to land on, but I don't envy the people that have to make the decision of it.
Yeah, I mean, either of them. I mean, again, Graham's, you know, his whole career, Dabo's been head coach and been, you know, the big man on campus. And it's got to be hard to be in his seat trying to, you know, obviously work with the guy. And then obviously it's got to be hard for Dabo. I mean, this is a program you built. You don't want to see it go in a negative direction. You don't want to see your legacy get tarnished in a way, which, again, we're probably far from that. You just need, like, multiple of these seasons for that. So yeah, they got to figure it out. I do think that, you know, things have been moving a little bit. Maybe, obviously, last offseason you got 3 transfers, which felt like a huge number for Dabo just because they'd only taken, you know, backup quarterback every other year, or back-to-back years maybe. I'm forgetting with Paul Tyson and Hunter Johnson, but they brought in Kevin Kelly, you know, the former scouting head of the Chargers. Like, he's there for self-scout and in terms of evaluation of other players and who you're going to bring in and stuff like that. There's going to be a certain amount of turnover on the roster. You have 105 spots now. There's going to be more spots in terms of bringing in transfers. I think they're going to continue to move in that direction, whether they were too slow in doing it, whether they got, again, changed some things as far as recruiting in terms of when you, offer kids, you know, how many you offer, things like that. All these things have been noble principles on Dabo Swinney's part, trying to get offers that mean something and till graduation do us part and all these things. Can they continue to evolve a little bit where, again, those principles are important, but they're not holding you back where other schools are, again, bringing in 25, 30 transfers where they're offering more kids, where their NIL operation's more robust. You have to be competitive. And like you were saying, it's got to be tough to be Graham Neff, to be Dabo Swinney, to have to, you know, contend with all this. But, yeah, they have to figure out a way to continue to move in a direction that makes Clemson more competitive, because they're just obviously not right now.
All right, John, 60 seconds or so, and I know that's asking a lot to fit full take from a game into it, but obviously all of this spurs around football. Good. There were moments where Clemson looked like a preseason top 5 against Duke, and then there were moments that they looked like a 3-5 football team. What was your overall takeaway from that game, and what does it say to you about the potential landing spot for the final results of the season?
Yeah, obviously offense more than enough. I mean, you scored 45 points. There was a crazy statistic that Clemson put out that if they scored 45 points in a game, they were 134-0 in program history. And obviously to lose in that fashion, it's all on the defense. And obviously Tom Allen, Dabo kind of went to bat for him a little bit last night. So, I think he's a great coach, just hasn't worked out. Tom's a winner, all that. I think he gets another year. I don't know if maybe some assistant coach changes, bringing in some players again via the transfer portal, things like that. But that is the most obvious thing, that right now that defense is woefully underperforming. You can't have safeties busting in coverage all the time. And that's a game you should have won, scoring 45 points. And again, it's got to be fixed. Florida State's got enough on offense to beat you. South Carolina's got Lenore Sellers, can break a million tackles, that can beat you. And so they got to get some things figured out, or they're not going to be in a bowl game.
John Blau covers the athletic department for the Post and Courier. Hopefully next week we'll actually get to talk football, but man, what an interesting time to be covering this program. John Blau, I'll be following you intently this week, buddy, because I expect there's going to be some very interesting pieces written, and I wish you the best of luck with the next 7 days, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You got it, buddy. John Blau, Post and Courier. Follow him on X at JONBLAU. John _ Blau. If you're a Clemson fan, he is a must follow. I would especially say this week, if no others. When we come back, final hour of the show, we'll wrap up the college stakes. We'll talk about the pro stuff, the World Series, the NASCAR Cup Championship, and the NFL. All of that after. Speaking of pros, Lon's pro with a sports flash because his name ends in a pro. Lon,
sounds
you get
like,
it.
Sounds like a lawn service. I don't know. We'll take care of your grass. Come on over. Carolina Panthers shocked the NFL with a 16-13 win over the Packers on the road yesterday, handing Green Bay just their second loss of the season. Rico Dowdle carried the team with 130 yards on 25 carries and a pair of touchdowns. Packers quarterback Jordan Love went 26-37 for 273 yards, threw no touchdowns, and was picked once. South Carolina Gamecocks fired offensive coordinator Mike Shula after their fourth straight loss, dropping them to a 3-6 record. Shula's offense has seen Lenore Sellers struggle with just 7 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions through 9 games. The Gamecocks rank last in the SEC in both points scored and yards per game. And Kyle Larson won his second NASCAR Cup Series championship yesterday in a thrilling race that came down to an overtime shootout between himself and Denny Hamlin, denying Hamlin his first ever title.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.